Annie E. Casey Foundation.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by May 6th for fall. Online students don't just log in, they connect. And good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is community radio from West Central Florida, 88.5 FM. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government, as we keep in mind that they are our employees. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. All viewpoints are welcome. We require civility as we are using the radio as a back fence of the nation, which is a place for people, reasonable people, to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you can see all the links to the material that we use on a daily basis and also join the discussion there. So we quoted this a passage from News and Guts on the Executive Session Facebook page last Thursday evening. But here is the full quote as reported by Slate. This is lifted directly from Slate. Quote, this is the president. "So here's the thing. It's so terrible what's happening," Trump said when asked by Breitbart News Washington political editor Matthew Boyle about how the left is fighting hard. Back to the quote, "You know, the left plays a tougher game. It's very funny. I actually think that the people on the right are tougher, but they don't play it tougher, okay? I can tell you, I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the bikers for Trump. I have the tough people, but they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point. And then it would be very bad. Very bad. But the left plays it cuter and tougher, like with all the nonsense that they do in Congress and all this investigation. That's all they want to do is, you know, they do things that are nasty. Republicans never played this." So that is a quote from the President of the United States. I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the bikers for Trump. I have the tough people, but they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very bad, very bad. What is the President of the United States saying here? And then last week, Congress rejected his declaration of a national emergency, and we talked about whether whether he's beginning to lose his unchallenged grip on the Republicans there. Here are the opening paragraphs of an article in The Hill. Quote, "Republicans are digging in for a long fight over reining in the president's emergency powers, setting up a potential clash with both White House and the Democrats. President Trump on Friday vetoed Congress's attempt to block his national emergency on the U.S.-Mexico border wall, with neither chamber expected to have the votes to override the veto. The president is poised to win round one of his fight with lawmakers. But Republicans are already setting their sights on making it easier to terminate future emergency declarations, setting up an intriguing round two." So what do you think of Congress's actions here? And here, by the way, is the text from a couple of tweets the president posted after Saturday Night Live aired a rerun of their last Christmas show. Quote, "It's truly incredible that shows like Saturday Night Live, not funny, no talent, can spend all of their time knocking the same person, me over and over without so much of a mention of the other side, like an advertisement without consequences. Same with late night shows. Should Federal Election Commission and or FCC look into this? There must be collusion with the Democrats and, of course, Russia. Such one-sided media coverage, most of it fake news. Hard to believe I won and am winning. Approval rating 52%, 93% with Republicans. Sorry, MAGA. So is the president threatening to use federal agencies to punish unflattering television programs? AOL thinks so. They said Donald Trump threatened Saturday Night Live and other late night shows with a federal investigation for poking fun at him, calling it in a Sunday tweet one-sided media coverage. So, on the circus last night, there was some coverage of some events of an event that Steve Bannon was speaking at, and they actually I think it was Heilman who sat down with Bannon and talked with him for a while, but they did some questions and answers at one point, and I wanted to bring you one of the remarks from the audience.
That is supposedly representing us in Washington.
Seriously, if you want to take it back, it's citizen involvement. You can take the trash out.
Oh, God.
Never in my life did I think I would like to see a dictator. But if there's going to be one, I want it to be Trump.
Never in my life did I think I'd wanted a dictator, but if there's going to be one, I want it to be Trump. Now, let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Those were the days.
And we an executive session opening a Monday afternoon. I hope that your St. Patrick's Day celebrations were enjoyable and that you emerged at least relatively unscathed and are able to bring your attention to whatever it is that you're doing on a Monday following such a celebration, such a spirited celebration. I drove down through Ybor City on Saturday night, and it was interesting, to say the least. And by the way, if you have been listening for a while, or if you're just tuning in and you wonder what's going on, this is a program where we discuss the executive branch of the United States government, and you will hear a fairly wide range of interpretations, opinions, and viewpoints. And if you don't hear yours, by all means, pick up your device and call 813-239-9663. Be thou not shy, but call indeed. And we are going to go and talk to Thomas in St. Petersburg. Thomas, good afternoon. Kick us off here on a Monday afternoon.
What a lovely Monday. How the weather is perfect. This is definitely not my first time calling.
Okay.
Congratulations.
It's not my first time either, so we're all right.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say happy everybody. We survived the Ides of March.
Yes, we did.
Somewhat. I don't know. I feel a little weird. Something's been weird with the Mercury in retrograde. So I also want to say shout out, dude. Game of Thrones.
season finale next month. Woo! Like the whole thing. It's going to be amazing.
I think I am one of the six people in the country who has never seen a moment of it.
Well, that's good, because now you can start from the beginning and enjoy it like all the rest of us.
I could just block out a weekend and just sit in front of the television, huh?
Oh, dude, it's like 5 hours life-sucking.
Yeah.
It just sucks your life away. All right, man, so back to Game of Thrones, right, which got me in this whole Ides of March. I'm, like, thinking about what's going on. You see what happens in New Zealand, that disgusting display. And, like, I'm just all around Nigeria, all these people, and, like, Game of Thrones. Think about Game of Thrones, right? Like, these people, this is just a, you know, a little fictional portrayal of, like, what we went through in the Dark Ages. But everyone had a knight, everyone had a sword, everyone guarded themselves, they defended themselves from all these wacko people. So traditionally, I'm, like, you know, a pacifist.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm getting more, I'm seeing the way that the world is just completely breaking down. It's like, it's tribalism across the globe. Everyone's like, me, you, this, blah, blah, pointing out the most basic characteristics of everyone because it's a victim mentality. When you're a victim, you just like shout out, it's him, it's this person. You know, this is the threat. Everyone just blames other people based on a like character difference.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay, we're breaking down a society, victim mentality. Like, maybe the answer to all these things, these shootings that are thrown out there, maybe we really should have no safe spaces. Maybe we should take ownership for ourselves, defend ourselves, because I'm not relying on the government for anything. It's a joke. But now, if Trump is like a dictator, right? Like all what's happening, what we see happening, leaning forward.
Well, I wonder whether or not he has some kind of authoritarian leadership in mind. I would not go anywhere near saying he's a dictator at this point.
Okay, well, you haven't seen it, but anyone who's seen it, he's like a Lannister in Game of Thrones analogy. He's like the Lannisters. But the point is that, let's say veto power, right, of the president. He's only done one now. You can go back to Carter, who did somewhere around 80.
Oh, yeah.
He was only president in 4 years. The veto is a joke. And then which leads me to, like, Alexander Oscar Cortez, who's like, I'm the boss. You don't want to do it? I'm the boss. I'm like, no, you're the representative. You're the person who's representing me, stopping some guy who will never see. The White House is this dreamland far away, the Seven of Kingdoms. We're like local. I'm down south, man. We need to rule our own country, which is Florida.
I think that idea has been trotted out before. I think we went through an episode of that once before, Thomas.
All right, man. Well, I don't know. I just don't think things are like, you know, I just want to break it down. I really do believe now. I never used to be. I believe in the Second Amendment now, man. I think we should have like no safe spaces.
Well, I believe in the Second Amendment too, and I'm a gun owner, and in fact, I hold an expert medal with a 45 service automatic or semi-automatic. So you know,
in, like, really good training,
huh?
You believe in like licensing and
I can't training? Listen. I can tell you that if somebody is going to carry a firearm on the street, they should go through some very, very rigorous training, because it is so very easy out there to things happen so fast. It's so easy to make mistakes. Like when Gifford was shot in Arizona, there was a guy there who legally had a weapon, and he was trying to take care of the shooter, and the cops didn't. I mean, how do the cops know who's, you know what I mean? The law enforcement arrives on scene, and there you are waving a gun around.
Dude, listen, you can't. A fire will burn down a building. No one can make fire. People are idiots. But we'll give you a gun. Here you go. We'll accelerate the process, and we'll project it across space. Like, you can't even build a fire. How about, like, here's a license. Build a fire in front of me, and I'll give you a license for a gun. It's a joke. People are ridiculous. Listen, last thing. That guy in New Zealand, he had an attorney, right? The attorney gets dismissed, and his departing words are, he didn't appear to me to be facing any challenges or mental impairment.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Despite the fact that the guy, you know, is a homicidal maniac. That's
well,
the society we live in.
It's interesting that people... In my basic opinion, if you've walked into a house of worship and killed 50 people, you're nuts.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, that's just a personal opinion. I think this guy's like, if you...
I don't want you to get in trouble for, like, you know, being inflammatory. But, you know, I'd say probably the case. That's a good litmus test.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the more precise indicators of mental illness myself.
I agree, man. I think mine is like listening to Led Zeppelin on repeat for 20 minutes.
That'll give you mental illness. All right, Thomas. Thanks a lot. We'll talk again. Sure enough. 813-239-9663. If you want to get in here, there's a line open. You can reach us right now. Just pick up that device and dial 813-239-9663. We'll get you right up here on the air, and you can have your say. We're going to talk to Jack. Jack in Dover. Hello, Jack. You are in executive session, and you knew it.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
So far, not bad. We'll know more later, you know.
Do you know anything about Rikers Island, the prison in New York?
No. The only thing I know about it is that there has been quite a lot of discussion about how it's been used and the conditions there.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a different talk show earlier today, and one of the mental health professionals from there, you know, talked about just the infrastructure, about it falling apart, and that, you know, a lot of times the prisoners use that to hurt themselves with, and just a variety of different types of abuse. And, you know, with your topic today about the president, you know, it just, every once in a while in society, I think you run across people that will get into a position of power, and then it just immediately goes to their head. And so, you know, unfortunately, I thought that, you know, Mr. Trump was going to be above all of that because, you know, of where he was in his life. But I think that maybe, you know, to a certain extent, that the power seems to have taken control of things that he would have normally not said or done.
Yeah, there's that old thing about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, just on the topic of Rikers and prisons in general, I would hope that, you know, that would become a topic, you know, for even the mayor, you know, here and part of the mayor race for Tampa to improve the infrastructures of just the prisons in general. And one thing that I would like to see, because when they talk about, you know, abuse and prisoners being afraid to talk about some of the abuses that happen while they're in jail, personally, I don't see where there would be anything wrong with a family member being able to have private security firm like A1 Security or, you know, ADT, something in their own home that could monitor their family members, you know, while they're in prison. Just so that you could kind of keep an eye on it. What would be wrong with that?
I don't know. It's good. It's an interesting suggestion, and I would be interested to hear from people who are familiar with the penal system. Right. And see what they would have to say, because basically I think what you're talking about is a kind of an Arlo cam for your inside guys.
Yeah, Glenn Beck, he says, you know, you can either have them monitor your home for $14 a month, or, you know, not have a third party monitor you and just have the cameras that would send a photograph or a text or something. So I mean, if somebody was being sexually abused in prison, you know, it would at least send a picture of that to a family member or somebody. You know, if they don't want a third party person seeing that, me, I don't know. I would prefer to, if I had a family member that was incarcerated, I wouldn't mind a third party person, a clinical psychologist or somebody, you know, watching that, you know, they're watching what they're doing 24 hours a day.
I'll tell you what, Jack. It's an interesting viewpoint, and we definitely have got some massive updating to do in our penal system. We have, one of the things that this administration has done is it has begun some prison reform, and I got to give it to them on that. They've also done some things on making it easier for people to be cared for in their homes. Elderly people, where instead of having to be institutionalized, they can there's a financial structure for them to be allowed to stay in their homes. So, I appreciate those things. And I don't know, maybe you may be one of those visionaries that's looking way, way down the road to some place where most people can't focus.
Well, I hope that you're right. I hope that, we can all get together on some of the basic things. I mean, it's unfortunate when somebody gets incarcerated, but if your teenage kid, winds up in a maximum security prison for accidentally killing somebody, they get into a fight on the school ground, and now, they go to jail for manslaughter, and now they're in with these lifetime criminals and prison people. I mean, it seems to me like, anybody that was put in that situation would want just to be able to keep an eye on their children, just have a little bit more contact with them.
All right. Listen, thanks for bringing that in. We'll see if anybody else has a comment on it. And as I am sure will happen, you and I will talk again.
Right, John. Thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 is the number to dial to get in here to executive session this afternoon. As we frequently do on Monday, this is a kind of a catch-up session. There's been a lot of stuff happening, and I picked out about two or three of them to see if you guys had any comment on it. If you had any thoughts about it. If there is something that caught your attention over the weekend that you want to bring into the session, something about the executive branch of the United States government that caught your eye, or something that's going on that you want to bring to other people's attention about the executive branch of the United States government, by all means, give us a call. 813-239-9663. Art in Largo, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Well, good afternoon, John. John, tonight at 7:15 p.m., the radio station, WMNF, the board of directors will accept public comments. I just wanted to point
out. That is a well and thoroughly publicized event. Yes, sir, you are absolutely correct.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I'll tell you what. I'm not sure. I haven't checked this out, but I would refer people to WMNF.org. Uh-huh. Also, there are several Facebook pages. There are bulletin boards and such on Facebook where WMNF publishes information a lot of times.
Oh, okay.
And I think that those places would probably be good sources for information.
Well, thank you. And now, as for President 45, what's very troubling is that the media, I don't think, is hopping enough on this topic, namely that 45 is threatening to adopt more authoritarian measures.
Yeah, is that what you hear? Go by all means, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no, that's what I'm telling. That's my comment. And what do you think? Do you think the media is really perturbed by his authoritarian statements?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a tough situation because I get a lot of feedback on the sessions. And I know that there are people who are so tired of listening to conversations about the presidency that they're just, fit to bite. And I understand that. And the question is, is it safe for us not to pay attention to what the guy's doing? And when he comes out and says things like this whole, I have the support of the police, the military, and bikers for Trump, these people don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very bad, very bad. And when he calls out a show like Saturday Night Live, which has been just ripping presidents apart for decades.
Oh, Mm-hmm.
And starts going, you know, should the Federal Election Commission or the FCC look into this, which people have taken as basically a threat if you don't, you know, if you negative coverage and you're going to get an investigation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And control of the media art, as you probably well know, is one of the gems of the authoritarian stare.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I don't think you've answered my question. Do you think that the media, I'm not talking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
WMNF, but in general, do you think they are pointing this danger out to the public?
You know, it's hard to say. I do see a lot of conversation about it. And I actually deliberately stayed away from my end of the cable all pretty much through the weekend. So I was not watching all of the things that got said about this. But yeah, I hear quite a few conversations about the fact that the president seems to have an admiration. Mm-hmm. For authoritarians across the world.
Oh, really?
And that the things he's saying are the kinds of things that people who are working on establishing themselves as authoritarians are, that's the kind of things they say.
Mm-hmm.
So is it enough? I don't know. Like, it's hard to quantify. I don't know what's enough.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Sure. Listen, I appreciate you bringing it in, and call us again, and we'll talk some more.
Thank you, John.
Sure enough. Bye. All right, 813-239-9663. We'll get you into this conversation. In the meantime, we are going to take a quick dodge out. We're going to do a little bit of business, and we're going to come right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Alert Today Florida, recognizing the month of March as Florida Bicycle Month. Floridians should remember that every bicyclist and pedestrian is important and that motorists should slow down and share the roads safely. More at alerttodayflorida.com.
Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore are two great roots artists.
Well, I know. I've been fooling myself too long.
Alvin is the singer, songwriter, and guitarist. Gilmore is the hard scrabble Texas songwriter. Now the two longtime friends have decided to come together for a fascinating roots music excavation that merges Delta blues, Western swing, and early rock and roll. Dave Alvin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, and the Guilty Ones will play Skipper's Smokehouse on Thursday, April 11th.
And back to the conversation we opened today with some quotes from articles in Slate about what it was that the president told the political editor of Breitbart News about him imagining that he has this. First off, if you're a police officer, if you are in the military, what does this sound like to you? You are in the military, especially. You have this man as your commander in chief. So, what do you think of what he has said? And we also were pointing out that there is a bit of something that looks like a rift opening. A dozen Republicans joined the Democrats to. Basically tell the president that his national emergency on the U.S.-Mexico border is no. So now the president vetoed it, and it's going to go back, and we're going to get to look and see. You know, Congress, in a sense, is looking at whether or not they want to defend their constitutional territory, because the House holds the purse strings. Congress is where the money gets managed, and the Congress said no. No, you can't do this. This is not an appropriate use of presidential power. So we're going to look and see whether or not Congress kind of stands up for itself. What happens when that goes back? Because the veto is, they're going to vote on, and they have to overturn. It takes 2/3 majorities in order for them to overturn the veto. But what do you think? 813-239-9663. Danny, take us into the second half here, boss.
All right, John. Why are we surprised? Why are some of us surprised where a lot of people, including myself, said this was going to happen if this man won the election? How could people be surprised about this guy with his past, knowing all about him, or maybe they did know about him? You got to be kidding me.
All right.
Sit there.
What are you doing? Now, before we go any farther, what are you talking about?
About, well, his need, his desire to be a dictator's authoritarian desire.
Okay.
Come on, man. Look at what he tweeted over the weekend. George Conway said his condition is getting worse.
Yeah.
Mentally. And Ed Kellyanne said, oh, I don't share those concerns with my husband. No, not at all. And then he goes, like you said, Saturday Night Live. And like Whoopi Goldberg said this morning, you don't even know that is a rerun. Didn't the Christmassy scenes give you a hint? the guy is out. He is in La La Land. The guy, and then saying about Joe Biden, he made another gaffe when he got tongue-tied. Another example of a low IQ. Sir, the person who has a low IQ is you. Listen, about a year and a half ago, close to a year, we lost Coco, the talking gorilla. Remember that?
Yes.
Yes, yes, that was a sad. He had better communication skills and a higher IQ than this guy, Mr. Trump.
All right, Danny, now there's no sense.
And to sit there and say, we lost somebody like that, and this man still breathes air and pollutes the world, pollutes the with his mouth and his tweet. Let me tell you something. If he was in Dodge City, Matt Dillon would have him locked up already, okay?
Well, here's the thing. I am fascinated that his reaction, that all that reaction was to a repeated broadcast.
Yes.
I mean, they already broadcast this once, and he seemed to get more engaged in the criticism of it on the rerun than he did in the original, when the original show aired. So I thought that was interesting, you continue to be of the opinion that Mr. Trump has being a dictator in mind, huh?
Mr. Trump has had that in mind all along, and saying that he's going to mount an FCC investigation into that. My God, this guy, if you look at this guy's pattern, look what he's saying, look what he's doing, look what he's about, and you have to sit there and say that I'm telling you right now, that and then to go off on John McCain.
Yeah, that was classy.
Yeah, real classy. I saw Megan this morning and was waiting for her response. And I don't agree with her a lot, but she was right on. She was saying, you know what? You'll never be a great man. You know what I'm saying? That her father was a great man. A lot of people agree. You'll never be a great man. You'll never be that. And Joy Blair said that good there. And then Johnny Hodson says, well, I still feel sorry for his family. And Joy Blair goes, no, yep, they don't. They're all the same. So basically, we have got to get this guy out of office. He needs to be removed.
All right. Well, there is a there is a term limit opportunity approaching, and
I understand that, John. I understand it. And we talked about impeachment. We talked about the repercussions that the Senate would acquit him. But there's still a possibility that this guy, believe it or not, could win. And if he wins, that means he wouldn't be indicted. He'd be in there for four more years. And possibly cause, who knows, a fascist country, nuclear war, all these, even the transition, when he loses, those 2 months would be still nervous time.
So, all right.
So he has to be removed. He should be. Right now, I would say his threats on that, before it would happen in there, out there, when he tweeted about what you said about the police, the military, it'd be very, very bad, and my opponents better watch out. That is a physical threat, and he should be already in jail.
All right, listen.
Put in jail.
That's clear. That's clear enough, and I appreciate it always. And I know that we can. I know that we can always count on you. We can always count on you to bring in the throw him out vote.
Throw him out and throw him under.
Okay. Thanks, Danny. We'll see.
Thank you.
We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. Danny doesn't pull any punches. He is right on the very tender edge of civility out here as we go. And if you haven't heard your viewpoint on this session, and you have something that you want to say some experience that you have, call us at 813-239-9663 and let us hear from you. We're going to go and talk to Justin in St. Petersburg. Justin, good afternoon. You are in executive session and you have the floor.
Hey, how you doing, man?
So far, not bad. What's up?
I don't know if I can agree with Danny. I'd like to.
Well, here's the thing. We don't require agreement around here. This is an opportunity for people to come on here and say what it is that their viewpoint is and how it is that they think about these things. So that's what we're doing.
I can tell you I'm totally registered Republican.
Uh-huh.
And I know that, you know, you're always like, oh, you know. We want, you know, and a lot of us don't call in. Some of us do, and then, you know, it's just crazy. They're a little extreme, I gotta say. So, you know, I'm Republican because my grandfather served in World War II.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's when the Republican Party did things like rebuild our economy.
Hmm. Really?
They did. You know, look at Nassau County in New York. Look at all the rebuild. They were like, these guys came back from the war and they need jobs and, you know, we need things done and, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I don't either, but I can tell you that the politics across the nation right now, there was a time when this nation was under an authentic existential threat. If we had lost World War II, our nation would be a very, very different place. And we were united. I mean, basically every fiber of the nation was being poured into defending the country. And defeating,
me,
you know.
I remember my grandmother telling me stories about she recycled her toothpaste tubes.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, yeah, no kidding. And so
So what happened, you know?
Well, there's a lot of things that have happened.
You had American people who are willing to recycle their toothpaste tubes and God knows what else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To us being a population that literally, okay, so I make furniture for a living.
Yeah.
And I drive around. You know, like there's those steel guys, the scrapper guys that drive around.
Yeah.
And they collect all the metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm driving around collecting all your old furniture that you throw out that isn't particle board.
Uh-huh.
And I make a living off of taking that wood, literally, and I'm carried by some big players. Like I'm in West Elm. I'm in some big furniture maker places.
Yeah.
That, you know, and it's all made out of the stuff everybody keeps throwing away. Like, what happened to this nation, man? Like, we went from collecting toothpaste tubes to support our troops to where you can't even serve for our military anymore without you know, having to have other groups, outside groups, support our troops in their recovery because the VA can't handle them. You know what I mean?
Yep. I tell you what, I suppose it might have to, you know, there's nothing that focuses the mind quite like having your life threatened. And the time that you're speaking about was a time when we were very focused because our national life was threatened. And
we need to be just as focused because
I agree, but there's we don't have that kind of event.
We have an idiot right now in office who's threatening like every like anything. I have a real hard time with him.
Yeah.
Because he's not only threatening like well any right. Like, you know, he really is. Like, I don't want to go to like a dark moment in history.
Okay.
But you know, there is a guy out there that we can all look at. You know, there's multiple guys out there you can look at. You know, let's not isolate one who felt he had absolute power and had done some horrible things.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That right there. That right there is the part of the
not there.
That right there is just a second.
Where do they go?
Just a second. That right there is where we are right now. Where we are right now is in the midst of a test to find out whether somebody can go there. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he seems to have the tendency, he seems to have the interest in going there, and he seems to want to run the government the way, completely the way he wants to, regardless of whether it's even
like
legal or not. Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, and that's where we are right now, and the nation is waking up, and we shall see. It's a, you know, you have raised some good points, and I appreciate it, and with any luck,
I'll let you go.
And I will talk again, and we will be session again. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Here's a little someplace you might enjoy.
A great annual WMNF event is the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. You'll feel like you're on a Caribbean island with the aroma of island food, sweet sounds of island music, and colorfully dressed island people.
Now I have climbed upon this mountain. Before my eyes I see.
Join us at Skipper Smokehouse, Saturday, March 23rd, 4 p.m. to midnight.
All right. And check out a tribute to Hal Blaine, a drummer, on every hit you ever loved as a kid. Free tickets to Gogol Bordello and playing live. Jerry McGee from Texas stops by to play a few songs, all on It's the Music Monday. That's from 2 to 4 this afternoon. Flea has made special provisions for It's the Music this afternoon. And so you're going to be able to get free tickets. You're going to be able to get yourself some free tickets. Playing live, Jerry McGee from Texas. So we got more live music on your community radio station this afternoon, and Flea is going to take you from 2 to 4 through the afternoon and deliver you unto DJ Bobby D, who is going to get you through that traffic jam. So stay in here for the musical afternoon and stay through the evening. There is some great programming around here in the evenings. Right now, we are going to go and talk to Bob and Lutz. Good afternoon, Bob. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John. Love your show, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say to the gentleman who called a minute ago, my father also fought in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to thank someone for bringing us out of the Depression and winning World War II, I would suggest someone go and take a look at the history books. You'll read about a man named FDR.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, FDR was a Democrat. And
no kidding.
All four of his terms, he had a Democratic majority in the Senate. And for all but the last two, 43, 44, 45, he had a Democratic majority in the House except for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. If you want to thank the Republican Party for winning World War II, you'd be putting your thanks in the wrong basket.
Well, you know, I have heard people who said that a lot, the recovery from the depression happened as a function of us having to face this existential threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had to leverage up our manufacturing. All of a sudden, places that were just, you know, silent, they had to. All of a sudden, we were making bombers and tanks and jeeps and all kinds of stuff, and we had to do that at full tilt. And we emerged from the war basically at full blast.
No, understood completely. I'm just saying, for someone to come along and say, well, I'm going to give all the credit to winning World War II, the Republican Party, that don't make no sense. And that's just because the facts are, you had a Democratic president, you had a Democratic House, and you had a Democratic Democratic Senate and a Democratic controlled House for the majority of FDR's 12 years.
There you go.
And so, I'm just pointing out to that gentleman, and it's something else for him to think about, okay? Now, I tried to call Rush Limbaugh before and Sean Hannity to get on their radio show.
How'd that go for you, Bob?
Yeah. That's what I want to say to all the Republicans listening right now is that, you know what? I will never be able to get on Rush Limbaugh's show or Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or, you know, whatever Bill O'Reilly's doing now because his call screeners ain't going to let someone like myself come on and speak. But you can call WMNF, and it doesn't matter where you're coming from, they're going to let you talk.
That's right.
So what does that tell you? You know, Dick Nixon didn't have Fox News in his back pocket like President Trump does. And so, yeah, it is dangerous when the free press is, you know, when the president has his own propaganda network that's working for him 24/7. And you know what, he mentioned all this stuff during the election. He said that when he was running against Hillary, he said the election's rigged. They asked him if he lost, was he going to accept the results? And he said, I don't know, we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
Another time he mentioned, you know, if Hillary wins, we'll see what the Second Amendment people have to say about that.
He actually was talking about nominate. I believe if you go back and find the full context of that remark, what he was talking about is nominating judges. Like, we can't, if she's going to be able to nominate all these judges and there's nothing we can do about it, but maybe the Second Amendment people can do something about it. And I believe that that was the general gist of what he was saying, which, by the way, doesn't take away from the scandal of it.
Well, yeah, all I'm saying is the gentleman is not afraid. No, gentleman's the wrong word. But Don the con, the lifelong con man and grifter, he's not afraid of insinuating violence. And that's what he's saying recently about the police and the military supporting him. You know, if Barack Obama had done 10% of what Donald Trump has done, he would have been impeached and removed from office. He'd be in prison right now.
Yep, I just want you to think about what would have happened if Barack Obama had uttered the words that I just read to you, on the air about they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very bad, very bad. I just wonder I think that we would still be listening to the echoes of the screams.
Well, and how about this one? Imagine if Barack Obama had said, yeah, John McCain's not a hero. I like heroes that didn't get captured.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a distinction between being captured and being shot out of the sky. And, mm-hmm. I would urge anybody to consider that difference. Listen, Bob, thank you very much for calling, and I hope that we get to talk again, sir.
Keep up and go work, Johnny.
Thank you. 813-239-9663 as we steal softly up to the threshold of the lightning round. And we're going to go and talk to Troy in Ocala. Good afternoon, Troy. You are in executive session and you have the floor.
Hi, Troy. Excuse me. Hi, I hope you can hear me. I'm an airport transportation driver.
Okay.
I normally live out of Ocala, but I come to the Tampa area many times. First off, let me just say I am an independent. I got sick and tired of both parties. In fact, in 2006, I turned in my voter card because I got so sick of the system.
Uh-huh.
And in 2016, when I found out Donald Trump had the nomination, I got my voter card back.
You decided to get back in the fray, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I got sick and tired of people who knew all about the latest people on Dancing with the Stars and American Idol and all that, but ask them a simple history, government, or current events question, and they didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Let me also state, I am a Jew. So people call him a fascist dictator. They call him Hitler incarnate. I got news for you. I studied fascist dictators. I studied Hitler. He ain't it.
Uh-huh. Listen, let me ask you a question, Troy, because when people make those comparisons, we always immediately, I mean, it quite rightly brings up the images of the camps and the atrocities and the horror. But
correct.
But what about if you go back to 1931, 32, 33, and you look at what he was doing in the kind of politics that he was employing and the kind of rhetoric he was employing as he rose to power?
Okay, you are exactly right, and you can make those fair comparisons. However, Germany brought their own problems upon themselves in World War One. Okay, and then they tried it again in World War Two.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing that I'm going to say here is, as a Jew, and as a working man, believe it or not, we are not all doctors, lawyers, accountants, and jewelers. I was trained as a humble auto mechanic.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I am now crippled to the point with several surgeries and crippling arthritis that all I can do is airport transportation.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do maintain my own vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody talks about, oh, he's terrible, he's awful, he's this, he's that. I can tell you that up until about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more, that most of the people I drove to the airport were flying out for family emergencies such as funerals. Most of the business people that I drove were flying out to close down businesses or to try in a desperate attempt to save businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am taking people to the airport for vacations. I am picking them up from vacations. My business has shot up at least 30%. I drive the highways and byways of Florida. I have seen numerous big rigs with big signs on the back. We're hiring. Call this number.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen places of business. We're hiring. We are starting at $12.50 an hour. I have seen numerous indications that this economy is doing better.
Mm-hmm.
My wife just got through doing our taxes. We're getting a little bit more back.
Good for you.
Not more, but a little bit more. I want to point out, I came from a liberal, leftist, socialist, Democrat family. My family put the dis in dysfunctional. I've often said that compared to my family, the Adams family, and the Munsters, were normal. They hated Nixon. They hated Reagan. My mother once told me, if you vote for Reagan, don't bother coming home.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to auto mechanic school at the time.
Okay.
Reagan was pointing out the phenomenon of women who were divorcing their husbands, not because they didn't love them, but because they wanted to have the status of being a single mother so they could get welfare.
I got to tell you something. That doesn't make any sense to me, and I'll tell you why. Because anybody who has seen welfare benefits, you would have to. I don't know what situation you'd have to be in order for a divorce and going on welfare to be an improvement in your circumstances. That's. Well, but I hear you.
I tell you, my brother never married the woman he made children with. Why? So she could get welfare benefits and he could continue to work. They actually went to Valdosta, Georgia from Florida, because at the time Georgia didn't require blood tests. Florida did.
Mm.
They went there, and their marriage certificate, they had it made up at a trophy shop to placate her father. You see?
Yep. All right, listen, we are literally 15 seconds from the last minute of the program, and thank you very much for bringing a viewpoint in that we don't hear very often. I appreciate it, and I hope we get to talk again.
All right, bye-bye.
Sure enough. All right, Gary and John and Teresa and Sean, we are literally bang in the last minute of the program. We're not going to get to talk to you today. Keep your powder dry. We'll talk with you probably tomorrow if you want to call us back. And remind you to stay tuned for It's the Music. We got a tribute to Hal Blaine, who, Flea says, is a drummer on every hit you ever loved as a kid. And you're going to get free tickets. You're going to have an opportunity to get free tickets to Gogol Bordello. And live in your studios today, Jerry McGee from Texas stops by and plays a few songs, and that's all on It's the Music Monday from 2 to 4. And stay tuned. We're going to have DJ Bobby D is going to take you through that traffic jam to get you home. And in the meantime, keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.